Welcome to Movies, Films, and Flicks. I am Mark Hacksaw Hoffmeyer, and joining me is John Buzzsaw Livingood.
I appreciate that. I'll take a grinder.
How you doing, man?
Good, man. I kind of imagine like if I had a big heavy grinder saw, even though it's not big and long, it's like bulky, so it'll look menacing when like a big dude waves that around. And I imagine I might fight Nick Cage with it when he has a chainsaw with it.
Oh, a buzzsaw versus chainsaw fight?
Like a little Mandy flashback.
Oh, yeah. That'd be beautiful. And I gotta tell you, I remember back in 2017, I was writing an article for Rotten Tomatoes called Saw Movies Do Better When There's a Saw Involved. And I called you up and I was like, John, we gotta talk about this franchise because I was doing a rewatch and you were reviewing all the movies for Movies, Films, and Flicks. So they were fresh on your memory.
Right.
That was the first time in 2017, and I got a question for you soon, but the first time in 2017 when I kind of just went, these movies make sense, because you watch one, I'd watched them in one in 2004, one in 2005, one in 2006, one in 2007, and I think I skipped a couple, then I rented them, so I watched them in order, but I've never watched them back to back. So when I watched them back to back, a light went off. And then I called you, and they're like, yeah, man, like, the Saw franchise is actually quite, it's convoluted, but it makes sense it makes sense, this franchise. There's a couple in and outs here outliers, I guess. But when did the Saw franchise start making sense to you? When did you go, this is connected?
You know, this is interesting, because this actually reminds me of when we did our Resident Evil franchise review, right? Whereas originally we thought they were a little choppy and they were all kind of like one shots that picked up after the other. But then when we were watching them close to succession, we realized how much richer and interlocked they really were, more than just picking up from the last one. And so it's funny, our movie watching behaviors, right? Especially when things don't come straight to streaming, like, or HBO, 2 or 3 months after they leave theaters, when this stuff started, you were still waiting a year to buy a Blu-ray after it left theaters, unless it was in theaters for a really, really long time. And you might not see Saw 1 on HBO until after Saw 2 came out in theaters.
Yeah.
You know, depending on the timing of things year by year. So like you, I saw Saw, and eventually Saw 2 came out, and I probably saw Saw 2 before I rewatched Saw 1, Saw 3 probably came out, and by then Saw 1 is probably on HBO, so I'm watching that. Saw 4 comes out, and I think at that point it might be 4 movies in as many years, back-to-back-to-back years. And, you know, you might have watched the first Saw movie, getting up to it, you tell yourself you're going to watch all 3, but you just watch 1 or 2 of them, you don't watch them all, so you didn't watch Part 3 before Part 4 came out. But since, what is it, I think it is Part 4 shows us that it's ending, simultaneously ends with Part 3. And so it's at that point that I sat back and said, holy crap. And then as soon as Part 3 became available to watch, I watched Part 3 and then Part 4. But at some point, now I've seen Part 1 and 2 more times than these, I start realizing they're connected. Right. Of course, you know, eventually Part 6 comes out. You don't always have time to rewatch everything, but you at least rewatch the movie before to keep it fresh. So for me, it really took a lot of beating over the head to realize they weren't just continuing where the other left off. And well, 1 and 2 is just that, right? 3 is where they start to give you more Easter eggs. But it was 5 for me. 5 was the, as Kevin Spacey said in 7, sometimes you have to hit them over the head with a hammer.
Yeah.
And that's when I really noticed it. Like, was that, I mean, where was it for you?
So when I was doing
4, the end of 4 made it clear to me.
Oh, so when I realized everything was connected?
Yeah, like super connected. Yeah. Like so, more than just continuing.
I remember seeing the end of 4 and seeing Riggs doing exactly what he shouldn't do. Cause Jigsaw says, hey, just let these people deal with this and they'll be fine. And Riggs is like, no. And Art gets killed. Eric Matthews gets killed. But I remember seeing the end of 4, and I just got confused. I'm like, why is Jeff still walking around? Of course, I didn't say Jeff. I'm like, why is the dude from Braveheart still walking
Angus
around?
Angus McFadden.
Yeah, why is Angus McFadden still walking around? And then they get to 5, and then I'm like, oh, Hoffman. is this? And then, okay, but then these people are, but then you have another game that's in it. And you're like, oh, okay, I guess that sort of makes sense. And then you have six with the insurance company, and then seven Saw 3D. When you learn about Hoffman being the apprentice in five, that goes back, I think it wasn't until about five where I went, oh, this, like, there's multiple layers here. But I'm telling you, John, so I, by the time this gets released, I wrote a video for The Film Theorist. If you go YouTube, Film Theory, Mark Hoffmeyer, you'll watch it. And we're not going to cover the same territory in that. I don't want to cannibalize it. But for me, this is more about, I was just looking at it, and I'm just thinking, okay, so you have apprentices, you have accomplices, then you have flashbacks, and then you have stories that are taking place at the same time. And then I started looking at who directed this. So Saw 1 was James Wan. Saw 2 and 3 was Darren Lynn Bousman. Saw 4, actually 4, Bousman did that as well. Bousman did 2, 3, and 4. 5 was David Hackle, who was the production designer for the Saw movies. And then you had Kevin Grugart, who was the editor for the Saw movies. But then you jumped over to the Spierigs for Jigsaw, but Daybreakers is badass, and so is Predestination. And then you have Spiral coming out with Bousman. So it's a tight-knit family, the people that stick on these movies and make it. You have production designers directing, you have editors directing. Lee Whannell stepped out after the third one, so then his guidance wasn't there. But the more you watch this, Jigsaw's ideology, he's horribly wrong. I mean, this is a guy who says, I was married, my wife lost her baby, then I had a cancer diagnosis, then I had a frontal lobe tumor, so I tried to commit suicide, and I lived, and I realized that people appreciate life more if they live. So then he starts setting up traps all the way back in the day with Logan, going back to Jigsaw. But what's interesting is he'll have accomplices like Zepp and Saw kidnap Dr. Lawrence Gordon's wife and child. And he's like, kill them if Gordon does not succeed in his mission. So you're sitting there thinking, he wants people to really enjoy life, but then he poisons hospital orderlies and wants them to kill the loved ones of people that are in the games. And Jigsaw, but the thing is, his ideology is wildly all over the place, but he's quite consistent throughout. And I like that
he's consistent but transformative.
Yeah, exactly. And I like that his accomplices or apprentices, I'm sorry, Dr. Lawrence Gordon's the only one who plays the game perfectly. I mean, in the first one he fails the game, but he still saws off his foot, he shoots Adam, then he cauterizes his wound, then he gets healed up, and he's not all like, Jigsaw, I hate you. You know, he's not like Simone from Saw 6 who hacks off her arm and she's like, Jigsaw sucks. Like, that dude's, screw that dude. What lesson did I learn? I love her, by the way. And then he helps him out with medical procedures, in two with the eyeball, with the Venus flytrap, then with Art, with sewing the mouth shut. And at the end, he kidnaps Hoffman.
But we don't learn that stuff until seven, right? It's around seven that we learn that he was involved the whole time.
And then he kidnaps Hoffman after Hoffman kills Jill Kramer, John Kramer's wife. But the problem is, Jill Kramer was supposed to test Apprentice Mark Hoffman, but she cheated. Hoffman lived, then he killed her by cheating. And then Lawrence Gordon comes out, kidnaps him, and he's still alive. But then you have Amanda Young, who, you know, former addict, and she gets really jealous with Hoffman. Actually, Hoffman was the first. Actually, Logan was the first. But then Amanda Young is like, nobody changes, and she gets mad, but she gets blackmailed from Hoffman because Cecil murdered Jill Kramer's led to Jill Kramer's baby's death, so he blackmailed her with that, and then she shot the doctor from the third one, and she's like, nobody changes, so she's under stress, and then she dies, she fails her game, and then Hoffman was blackmailed into it the whole time, so he could care less about Jigsaw's ideology. He just wanted to murder people. And then Jill Kramer cheats, actually, by trying to kill him, and so Jigsaw's ideology, for me, I think he knows Amanda's a failure. He knows Hoffman's a failure. I think he just wants copycats. I think he wants this out there that if you can survive these things, your life is better. And you're right though. His ideology though, it's like, hey, I'm going to murder your family if you don't enjoy life. Oh, thanks, Jigsaw. That's awesome. And there are traps that you can't do because Amanda Young rigs them to die. It's a, right. It's a Jigsaw's ideology is a madman's ideology, but I like how it's relatively consistent throughout. Right. And I like that about him.
Because even as we see people dying, or we have him have apprentice X test apprentice Y, etc. I think it was most elegantly presented as he saw Amanda's decline, because when he was doing his kind of, it almost feels like a soliloquy sometimes when he has his little monologues. Like when he was talking about it, he was like, you could tell that it pained him that he hoped so much for her, but her frailty led to her jealousy. And that led to her rigging these traps the way that she did, and her demands that no one would change because she was drawn back to her previous addiction, right, that he had saved her from. But he, like, I think it really hurt him. I think in a fatherly way, he was very disappointed that she failed, and that he, I feel like he's pulling, you know, like a Ned Stark, where it's like, yeah, you know, but I've got to execute this because I'm judge and jury as well.
Yeah, and she was blackmailed too, which makes it even more like sadder, more sad when you realize that. It's just such a funky little. That's the thing though. For me, I recently wrote a post, a top 10 horror franchise by the numbers. And the tomato meter average for Saw, the Saw films, is 28.5. But the audience average is 64.1 million. And I also like, though, these movies, all eight of them, excluding Spiral, their budgets were $9 million on average. And they averaged $75 million domestic.
Oh, they're pleasers. Yeah. I mean,
and there's an audience, right? So critics, do you know what I like about this? Sorry to interrupt, John. Like, you know what I like is, I love critic-proof franchises sometimes. Mm-hmm. I like that there's Resident Evil's kicking around, Final Destination's kicking around, Underworld's kicking around, where only maybe, what, one of them between? I think only Final Destination 5 might be fresh, but all of them made money, and they are quite connected as well. And I think there's – I just think Saw, there's a place for it because it does something that it didn't have to, and that's – it could have just gone, John and his bros are out at a brewery weekend. They get kidnapped by Jigsaw, and Jigsaw's like, "You don't live your life. You should be in California drinking IPAs, but instead you're in Vermont drinking IPAs." And you're like,
"Drinking hazies. Yeah. You should be going piney."
He's like, "Don't you know that West Coast is better?" And you're like, "Well, that's subjective, Jigsaw." And Jigsaw's like, "How dare you?" So you have to get put in traps where, you know, you get beer dunked on your head and you have to stab yourself in the neck with a pen like Strom. That was like my favorite moment of the franchise, by the way. Most gangster give you moment.
The choice that I never had to choose piney West Coast IPAs.
and you three just get wiped out. And then the fourth one is a bunch of West Coast IPA drinkers because Jigsaw realized that Vermont IPAs are delicious. And now he's like, "Well, I was wrong." So now you West Coast IPA drinkers, you should be in Vermont.
You saw what was trending on Untappd.
And so the next one's in Atlanta. Like, "Have you tried Wild Leap? You're drinking Pliny. You're drinking Treehouse. You should be drinking Wild Leap." And each
Pliny one is so 2017.
Alpha Abstraction. And so he's just, it could be him just murdering different groups each film. And then going on to the next town. Does that make sense?
Right.
Yeah. But instead, you get flashbacks, callbacks, bringbacks, whatbacks, I don't know, camelbacks. Like, it's just a lot of reoccurring characters that pop up through the franchise. There's a lot of, they wrote a full story as opposed to just murdering West Coast IPA drinkers every movie.
Something else that's neat is that this franchise does something that is normally like what I would call pulling a fast one or taking the easy route, but they're doing it in a complicated, insightful way. And that's that they are like, it's almost like what happened with Lost. Like, as things are happening in like season 6 of Lost or some other very complicated show that anyone really likes, you realize they didn't plan all this stuff out. They're like reverse engineering some things to connect some things later on, right? Well, normally when sequels do that, it's annoying and they're just forcing it together. And this one, you're like, oh my God, like once you get to part three, you're like, hold on, Amanda was actually helping him since part of the timeline of part one.
Yeah.
Right? And because when part two starts, you think she's a victim. Then you realize she was helping him. Part three comes along. She was actually helping since the events of part one. Hoffman comes along. It turns out that they were both apprenticing independently and unbeknownst of one another. But hold on. Then movies later, you actually find out that there was a good portion of that timeline where they were well aware of one another. And that all three of them were working very intimately together, mm-hmm. right? And so it's like these are things that are being kind of like, again, in a writing way, it's almost like pulling a fast one. But they are covering all the bases, and they are doing it to enrich, not to pull a fast one and just keep – like because like you said, he can just go to another city and kill different people, go to a different city, kill different people. And then like a Final Destination movie, not that I don't love those movies. But each one of those movies is kind of, here's just another group of people, but at some point we're going to connect it to the previous movie. But it's just like, here it is. I'm mm-hmm. handing it to you. You have that with you as a device in your pocket throughout the whole movie. It doesn't really develop much, if at all, throughout that movie, even in five, where in the end it brings all the movies together in an awesome way, but it's just a scene, right? Mm-hmm. At the very end. So this movie, as they keep – again, later we find out Cary Elwes was involved for all these movies when you didn't see him between like movies one and seven.
Yeah.
You know, and the way that they show it to you, though, makes sense. And they do a good job because then when you go back and watch these movies in close succession, you're not saying, oh, wait, but this didn't – quite work out the way they thought, you know. No, it's very tidy. It's like a jigsaw plan.
Mm-hmm.
It's very tidy, and he does evolve, right? Because Zep is he has a game.
Yeah.
Right? Just like the guy in the beginning of part.
And Obi had a game, too, in Saw 2. He was he helped kidnap people, then he got thrown in the game.
There's the fella who had the chain thing where one was in the guy's jaw.
Yeah, Art.
Right.
Art Blank. Okay.
Like there, so a lot of them start with this or even stay with this, and then others are proper disciples, and others are gamed and then become disciples, I suppose. Like, but in the beginning, there was really no disciple. There was just Zep being forced to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And two, you don't know there is a disciple until two ends, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, and then again, we just start growing and growing. Two disciples at once, working kind of separately, and then turns out they're working kind of against each other. And then later you learn, hold on, part of that timeline they were actually all working together, like planning crap out together. And just then you got, you know, later, yeah, we got Hoffman, you have Jeff, you have Jill. It can seem very convoluted. I wonder, Mark, if the critics scores, right? You talked about the critic scores.
Yeah.
I wonder what the critic scores look like. If you were to put them movie to movie to movie to movie to movie, I assume they generally go down.
Yeah, five is, I believe, the lowest.
But I'm assuming that most critics, like before reviewing part five, I'll bet they did not watch parts one through four, even in the 6 months before watching five. And if they did, would they then rate it better?
You know, that's
I believe they would.
So here's the way it drops. It goes 51, 37, 29, 19, 13. Saw 6, which is a bit, it's like the Jason Lives.
Which was the best of the story arc of 4 to 6.
Yeah. I mean, 6 is the Jason Lives. I mean, that's a 6-1. Right. That's good. I mean, that's a good, like the shotgun carousel. Woo-wee! And then it goes to Saw the Final Chapter, 10%. And then Jigsaw 32, Spiral 37. So it's actually kind of gone down. Now it's coming back up.
I think that Jigsaw, which I did not think was good, by the way.
Too glossy.
I think that
too
Jigsaw
glossy.
Did better. Yeah, it just, I don't remember caring about the characters. I could say the same about part four, though. I thought part four was the worst of the first seven, in my opinion, in execution. But
with Riggs running around and like the Lady of the Night and the serial rapist getting killed and then the ice like, blocks.
We really felt the loss of Lee Whannell strongly there. But it was starting a good storyline, the 4-6 thing. Mm-hmm. It's almost like Noe's 3-5. You know, it's a nice, even though it's all one huge story, that's a good trilogy within this greater anthology. But I think that Jigsaw and Spiral, by the way, the horror people I follow don't like Spiral.
Really? Well,
They think it's an okay horror movie, but they think it is very much a bad Saw movie. It doesn't fit as a Saw movie, is what they're saying. For the expectations Saw fans have, I suppose, would be the context that would be fair to get an asterisk to that. But I think that your Spiral and your Jigsaw are getting better critic ratings because they rely less on the elaborate web of story of their predecessors. Because Jigsaw, instead of having the story of 1 + 2 + 3 + 4 ... 6 or 7, because there's a final chapter in there, Jigsaw is kind of like, hey guys, remember all those Saw movies? Yeah, that story. We're picking up from there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And Spiral, which I haven't seen, I'm assuming is sort of doing something similar. It doesn't rely on all these characters at all these points and your knowledge of them to properly get a rich understanding. You just need to know the Saw movies as a whole, like as a generality, I'm guessing. But Jigsaw to me felt very hollow for that reason. I fear that Spiral might do the same for me when I see it.
With me with Jigsaw, it's the Spirit Brothers gave it a lot of sheen. And I think one of the fatal flaws of it are the main characters are just the people in the traps are horrible, horrible people. You find out that the woman at the end killed her baby, which right. then led to her husband hanging himself because she blamed him. You have a guy who murdered three of his friends. It's just not. And then at the end, when he has the gun, she shoots herself in the face. It's just there's nothing likable about them. So in Saw 5, I really liked Malik and Britt. I thought Britt was like a survivor, super smart. You watching Carrie Ells in the first one. In the second one, even Xavier and a few of those other characters, they had this anger to them. They were all framed by Donnie Wahlberg or Eric Matthews. I liked Strom in the other ones. I thought the cop character was really strong in like a Perez and all of them. I thought they were strong in 4, 5, and 6. Halloran and Jigsaw was just not a well-written villain. I do think the traps in Jigsaw were very glossy, and I wasn't really a fan. And Logan, what I don't like about that edition of The Apprentice Logan is Logan comes before Hoffman and Amanda Young and all of that. And he is a doctor, but Logan is just a deep undercover splinter agent like Gordon. So maybe... Mm-hmm. Jigsaw said, I am going to continue my games. You will be here for me. Just like then you got Lawrence Gordon. So I think maybe the only way that I can rationale Logan, I don't think Logan's dead. I think Logan played the game. I think he's deep undercover. So if Gordon messed up, maybe he would have been activated to go get Hoffman. That's the only way I can rationale him, his disappearance.
When you say activated, I think of Jason Bourne assassins.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's the only thing I think of, though, is they added this new apprentice. And you're just thinking to yourself, I have never heard of this apprentice. But we had never heard of Gordon, and Gordon felt quite organic coming back. But the one thing that I didn't – that the sheen of Jigsaw is largely gone in Spiral. Darren Lynn Bousman's back to direct it. I think Chris Rock – I mean, just watching Chris Rock in a Saw movie and Sam Jackson, it makes me really happy. I do think, you know what's interesting? I like Saw a lot, but I like Spiral a lot. I like it more than Jigsaw. I like it more than Saw 3D, and I like it more than Saw 4.
You like it more than Saw 7, though.
Yeah, more than Saw 3D.
Saw Final Chapter 3D, right?
Yeah, I mean, I got lost on Saw 3D or Saw the Final Chapter when Sean Patrick Flannery is a faker. And he makes money off of that. And Jigsaw goes undercover with his hat backwards and sweater, which is adorable, to talk to him. But where Saw the Final Chapter lost me was at the end, where Flannery had to put the hooks into his chest.
Yeah.
But what I didn't like
And pull himself up.
And what I didn't like was his staff lied for him. Like, they kept their mouths shut. They kept their eyes shut. They knew he was a liar. They just made money. But his wife, who had no knowledge of it, We watch her get flayed alive.
Mm.
And that's, that to me is, that goes against, like, that's a hit right there. That's a hit kill. So that's not Jigsaw-y, that to me. That's not, you know, there was a cut scene in Saw, the final chapter, where it was Jigsaw and, I believe, Carrie Ells in the crowd watching that buzzsaw kill in the beginning. So I think that was just a, he was planning this too, Jigsaw was.
Did you see that was a cut scene?
Yeah, they were, like, they left it out. They're originally watching it.
I must have seen, like, an unrated version. I feel like I've seen that. I feel like I remember that as part of the movie.
Oh, then maybe the unrated one you watched.
Maybe that's it. Because whenever I buy a DVD that has the unrated version, I just watch that.
Got it. I watched the uncut because I didn't – people pulling clips, I just watched the regular ones to make it easier for time codes. But it was just so cruel, man. I don't know. It was the opening buzzsaw kill too felt very mean, like, this lady's played you and then we're going to kill her. And then they're in the commentary, they're both they're the two guys that help Gordon at the end. I don't know if you knew that. The two guys in the buzz.
I don't remember that. I'm just not fresh enough.
Yeah, in the commentary, the buzzsaw, when it's the two guys and the lady. And then when Gordon goes and attacks Hoffman and catches him, he has two accomplices. Those are those two guys with the buzzsaw.
Wasn't there also a love triangle between them?
Yeah, so in the beginning, it was like she is being hung up. And then those two guys she plays, like they don't know about each other, but she gets them to do stuff, illegal stuff for her.
Right.
And then eventually they're like, screw her. Let her die. And then those two guys become accomplices later for Dr. Lawrence Gordon to capture Hoffman. But it's, I don't know, Saw 3D just, I don't know, it doesn't, I don't like that kill. I don't like the dream sequence. Like, doesn't Hoffman go full Terminator? Yeah, Hoffman goes full Terminator in Saw 3D.
Yeah, that's pretty a fair description, actually. Yeah.
And, I don't know. Okay, this is crazy. Should I rank them? Do you want me to rank them real quick?
Okay, all right. I'm curious to hear this.
Okay, Saw, number one.
Okay, of course.
Then I'll go Saw 6.
I like it.
Then I will go Saw... You know what? I'm going to say at 5 because I like Britt and Malik. Saw 5, then I'll go Saw 2. Then I'll go... Oh man, I hate 3, but I like 3 more than 4. You know what? I'll do Spiral... Then I'll do Saw 3. Then I will do Saw... Man, 4 is just... 4 just bores me. I'll do...
4 is no joke my bottom. Like, I will do... It is unquestionably my bottom.
I've already said Spiral, so I'll do... Then Jigsaw, then Final Chapter, and then Saw 4.
See, for me, yeah, my bottom 3 would be 7, 8, 4.
Yeah. They're not... I don't know, 6... Eastman is such a compelling character, and he gets killed at the end too. But watching him go through his missions, you almost start to like the guy. And yeah,
for me, part 4 was bleh. I mean, I still enjoyed it.
But what's your ranking actually?
In the context of Saw movies, I'd say 4 was bleh, 5 was meh, and 6 was powerfully redeeming. Mm-hmm. For me, I'd go 1. So I haven't seen the whole franchise recently. This is a little tough for me to do instinctively, and I just saw 1 and 2 yesterday. So I'm gonna go 1, 6, 3, 2, 5, 7, 8, 4, and I haven't seen Spiral.
Got it. Yeah, you know, Spiral is in the middle of the list for me because I never felt heights during it. But I never felt like Saw 3 or Saw 4. I mean, there's, like, in Saw 3, it's almost 2 hours, man. And just watching Jeff crawl his way through and just slowly, it's not, I like the scenes between Amanda, the doctor, I forget her name, the doctor, and Jigsaw. I like those. But at almost 2 hours, like, Spiral's a tight 90. You're in and you're out. And just the 2-hour Saw movie leaves me exhausted. So that's why I don't think I could put 3 up there. But it's cool, man. I think you and I had 1 and 6. That's neat.
Well,
so
you know, if I had seen them recently, I think that the one that could shift and move to somewhere totally different is 5. But I do distinctly remember four was my bottom. And then 5 in that trilogy of the 4, 5, 6, it was very clearly 4 was the worst, 5 was in the middle, and 6 was redeeming. And so it makes it hard for me to judge when I haven't seen those movies in years, since I did my franchise overview, really, which I did right before Jigsaw came out. I didn't do Jigsaw because it didn't feel like it belonged to, it's obviously a Saw movie. I don't know how to put, but the tone, what I expected, the styles, if you will, just didn't, it felt displaced even more than Final Chapter did. Like, I would have originally said before Jigsaw came out that Final Chapter, Saw 3D, was very, you know, too sheened.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And then Jigsaw came along and did it up even more. So as someone who hasn't seen Spiral, by the way, Mark, so, and I just got to re-enjoy seeing, I'm just going to call him Murtaugh in Saw 1. like, it's funny that in like 1987, he was 41 years old and he was already saying he was too old for this shit and Lethal Weapon as a cop. And now we see him like 17 years later.
Oh, man. Yeah, he gets set up by Hoffman.
He just won't retire.
Hoffman sets him up to go after Dr. Lawrence Gordon. He's really too old. And then Zep knocks him out. Like, that's...
And he's a small man.
Yeah.
And Danny Glover, that's a tough man to knock out. That's a big dude.
And so during your rewatches of 1 and 2, how they hold up? Like, were they...
Very well. Yeah. I just appreciate these movies, I think, more and more. Even though I'm less shocked, obviously, right? Because I've seen them so many times at this point, especially 1 and 2. I'm so much less shocked, but boy, they've got good intensity to them. They're so lovingly crafted.
I agree.
You know, when you
see the needle pit,
oh my God, don't get, oh Jesus. Like that scene destroys.
Oh,
me.
I know how you feel at needles. I should not bring that up.
When he throws her in there and her like death wail at it, like, oh Jesus, that was intense for me for other reasons, but I think it would be intense to anybody. Just, oh,
you know,
pull it later. And then when, after she's done and she finds that needle in the haystack, somehow there, someone's pulling them out of her one by one. Oh, that. And you don't know that Amanda's is with Jigsaw at the time. You just think this poor thing is being victimized a second time and she's getting just the worst of it. But no, they hold up really well. Really, really well for me. And it was the first time that Jigsaw, of course, we'd eventually see it many, many times. We're just seeing this slow evolution of Jigsaw in the beginning, right? Where he's almost toying with his prey, as opposed to simply giving them a choice.
Yeah.
You know, like, so, because when he's talking to Detective Matthews, the rules are simple. You just sit and talk to me and you'll find your son in a safe, secure, you'll find your son safe and secure after we sit and talk. Not like he says for a specific amount of time, but you know, he says you forgot the rules. He keeps doing it, but you know, he's obviously being deliberately vague. And then at the end, yeah, there's his son and he's in that horrible bathroom that was our set piece for part one. Presumably left for dead because you didn't know if Saw 3 was coming, or you kind of knew, but
yeah.
We didn't know. So that's where the first time we see him really toying with someone.
I think we'll go into this further when we do our whole franchise overview eventually, because we need to, because I've way too much in my brain
now. We've been threatening this for years. Years.
What I like about
it's just
two,
such a big undertaking.
Well, yeah, it's going to be, but it's worth it. I think when Spiral maybe comes out on Blu-ray, we could start something like that. But I think what too is interesting is they put the nerve gas or the gas into the contestants. And if you watch it, Laura dies from the nerve. She dies early from it, right? Amanda never thought that Xavier would just legitimately throw her into a needle pit.
Well, of course not.
And I love too when they're like, oh, you need the number on your neck. Like, we need to tell you, you need to keep us alive. He cuts it off.
That was brutal.
It was, and what I love, I mean, Xavier kills a couple people.
And Amanda watches in horror with Detective Matthews' son.
It's wonderful.
Horror as he does that.
Their plan fell apart. I know Jigsaw wanted to be cute, but one of the contestants dies. Addison is so addled on the gas that she doesn't even listen to the directions because she's so desperate, and the teamwork falls apart. It's another thing where he says, I want you to appreciate your life. You've been framed. you have been, and then Addison actually comes back and hits on Jigsaw one time, but he's going after people that were framed by a cop, and he's stacking everything so far against them that his rules definitely fall apart for me. But I like that their plan did not go to plan. There were some major hiccups in Saw 2, and it makes it almost more human than a lot of horror movies would want their masterminds to be. And I thought that was quite interesting.
So something is just occurring to me, because I have some scattered notes about these movies. And as we've been talking, I've been, you know, I've been adding to my little alchemical scribbles. They look like doctor's scribbles or something. And I'm looking at it, and, okay, bear with me here. Nightmare on Elm Street 1. Outstanding film, yes, mm-hmm. Of course. Freddy's Revenge, incredibly different approach, bold approach for many reasons ahead of its time, mm-hmm. Right? 3, 4, 5, trilogy within the anthology, right? 3, 4, 5. And then Freddy's Dead kind of goes kind of like off the tracks and just kind of drunk on its own success. And just like, this is just a zany horror sequel, mm-hmm. if you will. And then after that, you know, well, of course, I'll just stop it right there. Because after that, it's a very, it really transforms the way that these Freddy movies go, right? After Freddy's Dead. Saw 1, incredibly rich, character-driven movie. As we've probably mentioned many times on the podcast, not a fraction as brutal as people want to believe they recall it being. It was mostly the threat of it, right? It was mm-hmm. very, very elegant for a psychologically brutal, gory movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
But psychologically brutal and gory, if you will, which is a weird phrasing.
There's much less blood than what you think.
Right, right. And much less on-screen happening. So that is our Nightmare on Elm Street 1. Saw 2, right? Totally different approach. It's a funhouse.
Yeah.
It is a funhouse of horrors. And then part 3, I honestly feel, was powerfully influenced by the success of the Final Destination movies in terms of how they present the kills to you and how those kills went down. It felt like a Final Destination movie. Not so much a copycat, but just the style of staging things and the reveals. And then after that, 4, 5, and 6 is a wonderful trilogy within the anthology. And then 7 is the Freddy's Dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unfortunately, I would not say that Jigsaw is the Wes Craven's new nightmare that takes it a new way and in a really great way. Right. But it's interesting that they're literally three completely different films, completely dissimilar films mm-hmm. in the first three films. The next three films form a super rich trilogy. And then there's the drunk on the success, you know, Saw 3D, for God's sakes, just the title or the final chapter. Like, these are annoying titles.
Yeah. Yeah. And I keep calling it 3D because that's what it was. And then for some reason it became final chapter, right?
No, it depends on your purchase.
Oh,
you can purchase this product as Saw 3D as the title or Saw 3D : the final chapter.
Got it.
So it really is like different things. Like, I don't even know. When the movie was released, it might have been released theatrically in the U.S. as Saw 3D, but my Blu-ray is Saw 3D : the final chapter.
That's why I love the Scream movies. Scream 1, Scream, Scream 2, Scream 3, Scream 4. So easy.
I don't know how to pronounce Scream 4 when you replace an A with a 4.
Yeah.
Scream.
Squee 4M. That's great. Hey, so how about this? Let's take a quick break, and then when we come back, I have a couple fun things for you. How's that sound?
Sure.
All right, we'll be right back. Welcome back to Movies, Films, and Flicks. And John, I want to do something fun. Let's do this.
Do you want to play a game?
Oh, crap. I missed it.
Do you want to play a game?
Oh, wait.
I speak for the dead.
Oh. So let's do something. Let's do our three favorite moments of the franchise. I can do all three while you think. And that'll give you time. Because I saw your face right there. If you're
because I've only seen 1 and 2 recently. This is brutal.
I have John on Skype, and I'm just gonna do it. And then I'm gonna do my 3 favorite characters to give you more time.
So stressed out.
My favorite moments in the franchise are Saw 5, when Strom has a water box over his head that fills up. And he has a pen that he stabs into his neck and gives himself an emergency, tracheotomy.
Tracheostomy.
So
whatever that is, yeah.
So he can breathe with a pen. It is the most gangster moment of the entire franchise, and I just love it. I think that moment when Strom does that, it's beautiful. My next one is when Jill Kramer puts Mark Hoffman into the reverse bear trap, and he rips his way out of the chair, sees these bars on a door, sticks his face in there, and like Hail Marys himself to life. I mean, that thing goes off and it gets stuck in the metal bars, and I love that.
Didn't it still like mildly dislocate his mandible?
Yeah, he gets ripped, and then he has to go saw it up.
Right.
It's just ingenuity. My third favorite is Britt in Saw 5, because in the first one she collects all the keys and she realizes that they're the same keys. Then in the exploding tunnel scene, we realize that 2 people could have fit in each of those tunnels. It didn't have to be 1 person per tunnel, they just weren't thinking. But in that scene, she watches, I think her name's Luba, Megan Good hits the guy Charles in the back of the head, then he dies. Then when they get into the scene where they're supposed to electrocute themselves, Megan Good is trying to kill Malik, and Britt, remembering what she did to the other guy, is like, well, she might do this to me, kills her, and then electrocutes her to pass the test. And then her and the other guy give enough their blood, even though all 5 of them could have given up plenty of blood to survive. But I really liked her I liked watching Britt weigh everything in that. So she knew that Megan Good hit a guy, which led to his death. And then she was trying to kill another guy to do that. And she was like, well, if it's the 2 of us, I don't want to be with this person because she'll attack me. Like, I don't trust this. So I liked her decision on that. It showed some neat critical thinking for a 5th film in a franchise. So those are my 3. And then my 3 favorite characters.
Oh, gosh.
Simone from Saw 6 and Saw the Final Chapter. She hocks off her arm. She beats her coworker. Her coworker's killed. And then Hoffman goes, did you learn anything? Yeah, I learned to cut my arm off. And then in the survivor's room, the survivor's counseling course or whatever, Survivor's Anonymous, she's just yelling, oh, come on. Like, so this lady had to kick her boyfriend into lawnmower blades. And she's like, oh, I feel like I'm a better person now. And here's Simone who hacked off her arm. I was like, shut up, y'all. I didn't learn crap. All I know is I can park in a handicapped spot now. Like, I love that she just calls Jigsaw out for his crap. I guess I've already said her name, but I like Britt from Saw 5. And then I guess if I had to pick somebody else, it's probably Dr. Lawrence Gordon, just because he's the only one accomplice, apprentice, who plays the game perfectly. And I like that about him. He's the survivor. So those are my 3 favorite moments and my 3 favorite characters.
Can I do the 3 favorite characters?
You don't have to. I just did that to give you time.
That'll be too tough for me, I think. Yeah. It's been too long since I've seen a lot of them. But I think, even though it's been a while since I've seen 4, well, actually even 3 through 7, I feel like most of my impact in 4 to 6 was storyline, although I'm going to pick a scene from that. 7, I might like a kill scene here or there, but it's not the kind. The impact isn't there because my investment isn't there. So my number 3, and I have them ranked. My number 3 is I don't remember Art in the beginning scene. Art, yeah. Is that 4 or 5?
That is 4.
4. Okay. After Art survives because his lips were stitched shut.
Oh.
He even after he has survived, and he knew he couldn't yell the whole, he was trying not to, he was mumbling. Obviously, a lot of concentration went into not tearing himself up. But when he got out, he was so psychologically destroyed. He screams and tears those stitches out.
Oof,
and just rips up his lips. Number 2, Needle Pit. Good Lord. I mean, so many moments of that needle pit had me reeling. And just every time when she sees it, her horror, when she's pushed in, her reaction, as she starts to pull them out, the time is there. She just starts flailing in there. And then when she gets out, pulling them out, just everything about the needle pit. Holy Jesus. Number one. When Jigsaw gets up at the end of part one.
Yeah, game over.
And they're playing that music that we've heard throughout the whole franchise, throughout that whole first movie. But when they are playing that string symphonic as deeply and strongly of the theme music as ever in that movie, as he is getting up, I was, even now, I'm just like, whoa. And that is just powerful.
Yeah.
Absolutely my three. If I'm picking characters,
game over.
I remember liking Jill a lot. I mean, I can't give a whole lot here. I remember liking Jill a lot. I think Gordon, mostly thinking of the first movie, just that character. And of course, the wonderful execution by Cary Elwes, but very good character, very strong character. Amanda too, but not so much in the first movie. She didn't have a whole lot in the first movie. And maybe Jill.
Yeah.
Maybe Jill. Not so much at the end, but her little bits in the 4-6 arc where she's referring to her strained relationship with her husband. Pretty good. And then it turns out like it was all like a game. But I thought that her character was pretty intriguing.
Cool.
But I can't reach far or deep. I have a character question mark.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? You know what? I take Jill out. Take Jill out, Danny Glover. I'm sorry.
Okay, great.
And I have a question about Danny Glover. And it's what I was getting at earlier, and then I lost track because I just started talking about him being too old for this 17 years before Saw as a cop. That guy has been a cop for a long time. Do you feel that they cast Chris Rock to almost echo or pull a Force Awakens, if you will, where you're kind of replaying this serious cop role, also happens to be black? Like, are they echoing that or no?
So this movie got made because Chris Rock was a huge fan of the Saw franchise, and he went to Lionsgate and said, "I love the Saw franchise. Let's make one." And they went, "Sure, you can." And then he also produced it, and then he got his Spiral movie.
Okay, okay. So, yeah. And the writing and execution and of the character.
The character is completely different.
Okay.
Completely different.
Okay.
Completely different. And that's why I like it. You know what's interesting? I didn't go in there thinking I was going to watch a Saw movie. You said that people were expecting something else, but I like what I got. I don't think there's any moments that are particularly super memorable, but as far as a popcorn horror film goes, it's fine. It's the equivalent of a summer blockbuster popcorn movie, but it's a horror movie on a tidy budget.
Okay, I have a follow-up Chris Rock question. So on social media, and this is something that I don't always take a lot of stock in this, because I think sometimes people see someone play characters all the time and they just cannot allow themselves to see someone do something different.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a lot of criticism of Chris Rock in this movie, but criticism honestly felt to me like they just failed to see to be willing to believe Chris Rock can be in a serious movie, as opposed to saying that his performance wasn't on point. But people seem to – I noticed many people complaining about Chris Rock, and I didn't see many people complimenting Chris Rock. Did you appreciate his performance? Did he bring good gravity to it?
He's the best part of Spiral.
Okay.
He's interesting.
Cool. I'm happy to hear that.
It's a weird – I'm telling you, man. I think expectations kill movies sometimes. When I saw that Chris Rock was going to be in Spiral, I didn't go, "Oh, he can't do it." I thought, this is going to be fun.
I like that Danny McBride was involved in Halloween. Like, that excites me.
Like, give Danny McBride in Alien Covenant. I was like, "Oh, that's right. Funky. Like, give me that."
Yes.
And Chris Rock, right? I like the arc of his character. The more I think about the character, the more I like him. It's Chris Rock doing something different in a movie franchise that he loves. I think some people, I thought people would be more turned off by the puppets and the voice of everything. Like, the voice is from the videos.
Because it's different now, right?
Yeah. So I don't want to say anything. But it's... I thought people would be turned off by that. But it seems like an odd attack. Like, but I have noticed that Saw fans are very outspoken. And if you look at their scores online, just audience scores, they're very high. But I also looked on Rotten Tomatoes, and Spiral right now on audience score is 75% on Rotten Tomatoes, audience score. And I think that's fair. Now, will it... it's not going to cause the... I mean, Saw was a sensation in 2004. It was a tiny $1 million movie that just... blew
that
people
blows
away.
My mind,
yeah,
hearing that.
It's like, yeah, and this movie, oh, it just makes me happy. Whenever you pull up the Saw franchise on Rotten Tomatoes, my "How good are the Saw movies when a Saw is actually involved" article is like right there with it. It just makes me happy to see it because it's such a weird article. But I remember I was in Pennsylvania talking about that on the phone outside of a house. But they, I don't. It's just an now. Okay, is it? It won't hit the heights of Saw because Saw's been done. I mean, Saw was 17 years ago. So you can't ever recreate that. But I think this movie, it all makes sense to me. That's what makes sense. The movie, when you think about it later on, to me, it makes sense. But if you look at the original Saw movie, the traps that they are setting are thousands of dollars of welding, transportation, moving. I mean, Hoffman renovates the entire house from Saw 2. So the amount of resources that these people have, they're spectacular. And it's quite... there's like smushing rooms with glass coffins. So
Can you imagine the electrical, like, piston work, like the machinery work it would take for that? Because it's not like you just have two walls that magically collapse on one another. It's just like in a building where, like, the 11th floor... actually has like a gap between the 11th and the 12th floor that's bigger than a whole floor because it's just the engineering floor.
Yep.
Kind of thing in like a 20-story building.
It's, I don't know. So the traps make sense to me. The what happens in it makes sense to me. Sam Jackson's good. I don't understand it. I don't understand the why people wouldn't like Chris Rock. He's doing something different. I like it. And he's a fan. Chris Rock is a fan. You know what's weird? They're going after Rock. But he's a fan of the franchise. He's the reason there's another Saw movie. So, I don't know.
If I might have known that at some point, but I've long forgotten it
so
if I did.
That's kind of what I was thinking about, but I dig it. And let's do something. I have something real fun for it. Oh, no, what do you got? You do it.
Well, I have a Spiral question, a general Spiral question. So, I haven't seen it, but of course, I've seen almost all the Saw movies multiple times. If you were to average it, I probably saw the average Saw movie before Spiral. Three times, right? So I'm quite familiar with the franchise. So when I go see Spiral, even if they're not fresh, I'm going to be fine. And it's probably every bit as distant, as we discussed, as like Jigsaw was, or even more so, right, than Jigsaw was from the predecessing franchise installments. But a lot of our listeners, you know, they might be in their 20s, and they might not have seen Saw 1 through 8, if I'm going to call it Jigsaw Saw 8. How familiar, if at all, do you need to be with Saw to see Spiral and enjoy it? Do you just need to have happened to have seen a couple Saw movies and you just know that Jigsaw is the killer and he sets up death traps and you're kind of good to go? Would that be fair?
It's a great question because, I mean, it came out in 04, so, but I mean, I guess if you're 18 years old now, you weren't watching that movie. If you're going to go watch Spiral. So I guess we can't assume that people have watched them. I think this movie, I never even thought about that while watching it.
Like if people were just, because people know, even if they never saw a Saw movie, a lot of people just know Jigsaw creates death traps.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
So they bring up Jigsaw. Oh, this could be a Jigsaw. But it's, maybe not. I don't think so.
Watch this as a standalone if you never even knew the Saw movies existed and not be clearly missing something when you watch it?
I think you can.
That's good to know. Like, because it makes me think of like approaching this movie with someone who hasn't seen Saw movies, for example. Or
Now, Spiral, though, I wouldn't put it in my top 200 horror films of all time, but I watched it and enjoyed it. Megan watched it. Megan liked it more than the other Saw movies that we watched. So, I mean,
she liked it more than all the other Saw movies?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow! I mean,
Chris Rock. I mean, it's just different. And it's just, I don't even think the kills are as great in Spiral. But you know what's interesting, John? You know how many movies we watch that we just forget? Spiral's lingered with me. Spiral has stuck with me. It doesn't like elicit me being very happy or sad, but when I think about it, I'm like, I enjoyed watching that. Yeah, that's all I can say. It satisfied my. But also, I was so mired in the Saw muck. Like I don't like 3. I don't like 4 that much. I'm not a fan of Jigsaw. So,
and I'm putting 4 at the bottom.
Yeah, and so when I watched all those, and then I saw Spiral and it was different, and it was a little bit more, it was just different. I think I just liked it because I was kind of out of, and also, I mean, the first Saw movies, with the exception of Final Chapter, looked like they were filmed on like baking sheets. I mean, they are like gritty and they're little grit masters. It was, but what I liked about Spiral, everyone's covered in sweat. It's not a super clean film. There is a sheen to it. I liked Boosman was back. I mean, Boosman knows the Saw world. Did 2 through 4. So, yeah, I don't know. I liked it. I keep saying the same thing. But I want to do something real quick. I was thinking about just doing a Saw movie only draft. But this is what we're going to do. Saw, Blade, Hatchet, and Machete. We are going to do a draft. 4 movies each featuring the Blade, Hatchet, Machete, and Saw franchises. The one word, weapon franchises, I guess, that you could cutting material. Things you can cut people with. Franchises. Okay. With one word. So I'll let you have first pick.
So we're just picking one of the movies from each of those franchises.
You could do all the movies from Saw if you want.
Okay. Or I'm going to take Hatchet 1. Hatchet Ooh. Part 1.
All right.
Because it was the best Hatchet movie, by the way.
Oh. All right, so I'll take Machete, because he does not text.
Because he does not text?
Yeah. Machete don't text.
So I've seen none of those movies.
Oh, I love Machete. I love both of them.
I've seen all of the movies of the other franchises, right?
Machete don't text.
Okay, so you have Machete Part 1, and I'm taking Hatchet Part 1. I'm going to take Blade 2.
Oh, you know what's funny? I knew you were gonna say I'll take Blade 1 then.
Blade 1?
Yeah. I knew you were gonna say a Blade. I love it.
I'm kind of backing off on the Saw because there are a couple Saw movies that I can pick from that more readily, if you will. Saw 6. No, yeah, Saw 6.
Whoa, Saw 6. I like that.
Saw 6. Going deep into a friend. Everyone thought this was all gonna be ones and twos.
Oh man. Alright, so I just have ones. So I gotta go a little saucy here. Let's see which.
You could pick Saw 1. You could go. You could have a hat trick.
I don't know, man. That's a. All right, I'll take Saw 1.
I mean, oh, you see, you fell into my trap. You were given a choice and you failed.
Are you gonna take? I know what you're gonna take. Yeah, can I write it down?
You write it down. You pull a Johnny Carson. No one, none of our listeners know the Johnny Carson thing where he puts the thing to his head.
I might be wrong
with the Swami here. Hat, and he predicts something.
I'm taking a guess here, and I think I might be able to be right here. So I'm gonna write it down. All right, I think I know what you're gonna do. I think I know.
Okay, I have two things in my head. So if I don't pick the one that you picked,
yeah,
I'll tell you what my second choice was.
All right,
I'm gonna pick Blade 3. Ah, you got it.
I got it. I knew it.
and why did you know?
Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, of course you knew. It was a fun movie. I was just talking to my coworker in the entomology lab like last week about how much we liked Blade 3, even though it really wasn't like such a great like movie overall in many ways, but it was still a great movie in many ways. You know what I mean? It's like it's easy to pick on. But it was also like, it was very, very, very satisfying.
I'm going to take Saw 2 to finish out because of the needle pit.
Okay.
So you have Hatchet, Blade 2, Saw 6, and Blade Trinity. I have Machete, Blade, Saw 2.
So I have a 1-2-3-6. You have a 1-1-1-2.
Yeah. I would have taken 6. I would have. But
how many machete moves are there? Are there 3?
2.
There's only the 2?
Yeah. I love the machete movies. I mean, they are... But just know that they're super, super, super low budget grindhouse based off a trailer. But they're fun. And I love Robert Rodriguez.
Can you compare it to something else? Because I've always been very intrigued to watch them, but I always just fear that I'm going to regret how I spent my Saturday night.
It's basically James Bond meets The Expendables, directed by Robert Rodriguez in full grindhouse mode.
But you could not give me a specific movie that is of similar ilk.
Of similar ilk. Of
similar like, is this ilk. Is this like Planet Terror zany?
No.
Or it's even sillier.
It's not as stylized. It's very grungy. It's like a if a Scott Adkins budget was a spy movie.
Okay.
That's but not a spy. Like if Scott Adkins was a grumpy murderer hired by the government to kill people and one of his type of films. Does that make sense?
Grumpy murderer.
Yeah. That's it. I don't even know if that works, but
I need to, if I watch that, I need to watch it with somebody. I think that's what it is. Because that way, if it wasn't the right choice for me, I can still enjoy the grindhouse like B moviness of it better. And not that I don't love B movies, right, and silly movies, but I'm just very skeptical about that one. I don't know why. There's something like whenever I see like the trailers, I'm just like, this could be wonderful, but what? It might be upsettingly bad for my taste. I don't know.
You're visiting soon.
Okay, yeah, with company. Like, again, like, I can enjoy it.
Megan loves the machete movie, so that we have some fun.
We watch, like, Sharks in Venice. We watch Sharktopus versus Croc-a-Shark.
Oh, man, that was a gnarly movie
right there. Is that what that was?
Casper Van Dien just acting his face off.
He just got to go to the Caribbean for a bit.
Yeah, drink some rum and shoot for 8 days and then leave and get a little paycheck. But hey, man, thank you so much for joining me. I've really wanted to get just some Saw. I just wanted to do a Saw dump, and I'm very happy with this Saw dump.
Oh, you know me. I'm always ready to talk Saw movies.
But I think this is getting us ready for our franchise. But first, we have to do Reanimator, Dagon, Color Out of Space, and Tequila Sunrise.
For our Kurt Russell quarterly.
For our 300th episode.
Mm-hmm.
Tequila Sunrise. But yeah, so then we can jump into Saw for post, probably, I mean, we might even get it, I don't know. But yeah, so we got our Lovecraft stuff, and then we have Tequila Sunrise, and then we can get to Saw. But that's good. I mean, then by we'll have a nice buffer between this episode and those, and I think it'll be good.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining me, man.
Of course.
I feel lighter. No lie. I don't know why I would lie. But I feel lighter now after unloading all of this.
From the quarts of blood you expended from your chest. You know what's funny is that whenever I try and do a Jigsaw voice, it makes me think of like 200 episodes back when we would always do Bane and Batman impressions. And the Bane impression like often had that weird Batman.
Evil never pays. Oh, wait. Wait, evil always pays.
Oh, Batman, you're a cheap one.
I've got a coupon.
Well, thank you, dude. Thank you for joining me. And you probably are no, but make sure to follow John's Horror Corner on Instagram and Twitter for all of his... Follow him on Instagram and Twitter, but Instagram he posts really cool beer and movie pairings. And I love those photos.
Everyone always thinks it's all about wine and cheese. I'm doing beer and movies.
Yeah, and absolutely. He pairs them really well. So follow him on Instagram for that. You don't do those on Twitter, do you?
No, it just I don't know why. It's like the audience is less about that. And I'll tell you something else. My movie review posts get a lot more love on Twitter. It's just certain things fit the media differently.
I love those pictures, though. So check out the movie reviews on Twitter and check out his Instagram for the wonderful beer pairings. But yeah, this is good. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So for me, Mark Hacksaw Hoffmeyer, and for John Buzzsaw Levengood.
Mm.
This is Movies, Films, and Flicks. We'll see you next week.
That doesn't even sound like a buzzsaw.